Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
We would like to acknowledge that this podcast meeting is being held on Aboriginal land, the land of the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation, and we would like to pay respect to their elders past, present and emerging, and their multiple birth parents with children with disabilities.
And today's episode is Anna. She's the founder of her own consultancy business and has 30 years' experience in human resources, facilitation, and project management. Anna became involved in Special Olympics after her son Harry joined. She loved it so much, she has now been appointed to the Special Olympics Board. Anna also grew up with a sister with an intellectual disability. This first-hand experience has driven Anna's determination to promote healthy, active lifestyles and social opportunities for people with intellectual disabilities, and to promote Special Olympics as a vehicle for self-accomplishment, achievement, community engagement and inclusion.
Ah, awesome!
I know, what a great...
I'm excited about today.
Amazing!
This podcast contains truth, laughter and... the occasional F word, so it's not really suitable for children.
Sometimes you just have to get your shits out. Shit, 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 shit. That's right, this is a language warning. Oh, shit.
Hello, Kate.
Here we are.
I know, it's sunny.
It's sunny.
We're out of official lockdown.
We are. You know Nemo, Finding Nemo, yeah. Where she's like, the sun is shining, the tank is clean,
the tank is clean. I love that bit.
I know, but every time I go outside, I'm like, is the tank still clean?
It's a great feeling. It's a beautiful spring day in Melbourne, so we feel some hope.
We do.
Yeah.
We do. Mandy got her toenails painted.
Oh, my gosh. It was so great.
Yeah. Beauticians are back.
Yeah.
I've had my hair cut.
Yes.
So, yes.
Amazing.
Amazing, amazing. Who knows, by the time this comes out, I can't say.
We can.
But I don't think we're going to go back into lockdown in the close future. Schools, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah, we've got school closures happening everywhere.
Left, right and centre. Is that happening in Sydney too? It's happening in Melbourne.
Yeah.
Yeah, let us know.
But anyway, it feels like the end is near.
Yeah.
And we know that brings up lots of emotions for lots of peace.
Yeah, so, we do.
Yeah. But getting my toenails done was pretty great. I took Miss 10 and I said, would you like to get your toenails painted? And she was just like, what?
I know.
Yeah. She goes, white. It's very popular on TikTok. I said, okay. Anyway, today, we have got someone in the pod bar.
We've got champagne. That they brought. We didn't even bring it.
This is a moment.
It is a moment.
Yes.
Oh, we missed having our peas in the pod bar.
Yes, that's right.
So we've got Anna.
Yes.
Would you like to say hello?
Hello. Woo. I'm so excited to be in the pod bar.
We are excited to have you.
Brilliant. It's brilliant. And had your toenails done. I got my car washed.
I need to do that.
Yes, true. Me too.
Yeah.
One of the boys at work's like, you know you can do it yourself. And I'm like, I know I can.
Yeah, but
also
we're old.
I'd like to drop it off.
And get a coffee.
And come back and it's clean.
Have a great feeling.
Yes, I know.
Well, Anna, we're thrilled to have you. We're going to ask our questions and we'll get into it, yeah?
Yep.
Sure.
Okay.
Do you want to ask the first one?
Yep. First question is, do you have a song or a band or music that either gets you up when you want to get up or helps you when you're feeling down?
Well, yes, I do. Harry, my gorgeous son Harry, set me a running challenge during COVID and he made me a playlist.
Wow.
And he called it Running in Style. I think that was aspirational. And one of the songs, one of my favourite songs on it is Be My Girl by Jet.
Oh, I love that song.
How, you know, yes. And what an upbeat song. Yeah. And it takes me straight back to when we took the boys to their first live gig.
Yeah. Right.
5 and 6 at the Palais Theatre in St Kilda.
Beautiful.
And we were sitting in the front row. And the best part of the concert was looking at the band's face when they came on stage and saw these little kids.
Yes.
Oh, right. I'm like, what? We're a bit cool for this. Anyway, the kids ended up with their drumsticks at the end of the concert. And we've just loved sharing live music with the boys. For Harry's 18th, we took the family to Splendour in the Grass up at Byron.
Oh, that's my dream.
For
to get to
the
Splendour.
Music festival experience.
Where did you stay?
At an Airbnb.
Okay, yeah, I was like, you didn't camp with all the...
and it was a great experience. And we've loved sharing live music with Harry in a safe way.
Yes.
So, and continue to do so. Oh, so it's beautiful. It's fun.
It's going to come back.
I know.
It's going to come back.
I know.
Dylan Allcott's doing Ability Fest in Melbourne. Yeah. I haven't booked tickets. I feel funny about going to a big gig like that. I'm sure we'll be fine.
Yeah. Yes.
But it's just a bit at the moment.
And Ability Fest is awesome. We volunteer there. Harry's volunteered with his mates and had a great time.
Yeah.
Good fun.
Wow.
I'm excited about
and has got so much to tell us.
No, it's
going to be awesome. Okay, did you win any awards at school?
Have you had anyone that has been stripped of awards?
Oh, no. Were you a drug cheat?
No. I was so close. So I was a prefect at school in charge of community service. Like, that's mapped a few things, right?
Yeah.
So first warning came when I was late for assembly one day. Flew in to the school grounds on my bike, not allowed to ride in the school grounds, bowled over the principal, who was also late for assembly, and he said, write my office straight after. So that was my first warning.
Wow.
And then my second warning was when, for fundraising, I decided to show a movie.
Yep.
And the movie that I chose to screen at my Christian school was Life of Brian.
Messiah.
In my office again. We only got through part one and you had to watch the rest at home.
Yes.
So nearly stripped of awards. Oh my goodness.
Did you just not think or?
Oh, just everybody was so into that movie. Film.
Yeah.
The time. It's what, it was the cult following.
It really was.
In the early 80s.
Yeah.
So just didn't put two and two together. Or maybe I did. And it was really popular.
I bet you there's a lot of people who remember that day.
Yeah. Why do I have to watch the rest at home?
She was the best one we ever had.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, Anna, that's awesome.
Mm. Oh, you got unprefected nearly.
Oh, nearly. Oh, nearly. Just made it to the end of the school year.
Goodness. You're going to be a world changer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. And our favourite question, why are you a P?
Well, I've been a P for over 50 years.
Yes.
My sister has an intellectual disability. Mm. She's 4 years younger than I am.
Yep.
So I grew up in that world.
Yeah.
So she, as I said, 4 years younger and an undiagnosed intellectual disability that she lives with today. So, and then I suppose my whole reference to disability changed again when we gave birth to our second son, 21 months after our first.
Right.
And beautiful, beautiful boy, as they all are. Yes. Our babies are always our most beautiful babies. And he missed some milestones and we were aware of that because of his older brother.
Yes.
And when he wasn't, you know, lifting his head and rolling and generally floppy, the old developmental delay.
Yep.
And here we were in a very, very different different space, different lens to disability. So so that's been my journey and is my journey.
Yes, it is. My goodness.
Okay. Yeah. And so when did you sort of get a diagnosis for him?
We got a diagnosis within the first 12 months.
Right.
So, you know, thank you, maternal health nurses and so on. We knew that something was wrong and, you know, that is the benefit of having an older child.
Yeah.
So it really depends. It so much can change depending on where your child fits in the family.
That's true.
And we got a diagnosis around that 12 months mark when the diagnosis was global delay.
Heard of that? Global developmental delay.
And excess laxity and hypermobility. And the way that I could understand that was it's like the exact opposite to cerebral palsy.
Which is quite where
people are stiff.
Yes.
Well, Harry was floppy.
Floppy.
And it was a really tricky time.
Yeah.
And I have to say thank you for asking me to come on because it's made me go back and revisit a lot of that in reading your book and listening to your podcast. Not in order, sorry, Kate.
That's it, get out.
But it's brought it made me go back and look at all our medical records and think about some of these things again, which has been so important because a lot of it was wiped.
Yes.
And I think it was wiped because I had a 21-month-old
daughter.
You were flat out.
And I was trying to work.
Yeah.
And it was really, really traumatic.
Yeah, it is.
And I was trying to practically fix it. So, you know, very practical person and just get on with it.
Yep.
And so in the last, you know, few weeks and months, I've pieced together my story again and the timeline. And I've sort of gone back and actually realized that some of the things that were in my head were not actually facts.
Yes.
And I had this guilt about stopping genetic sort of research about Harry and those appointments. And I felt really bad about that because we had, you know, medical appointment fatigue. Mm. But then I found this letter at 3.5 from the geneticist that said, you know, in my opinion, this boy does not have any specific genetic, diagnosis. So I just went, oh my goodness.
The guilt was for nothing.
Like, wow. Mm. So, you know, that's been very interesting to go back through that and to sit with it.
Yes.
And to feel okay about it and to just sort of have those conversations. And I've had some great conversations with Harry, who's now 22.
Yeah.
And he is really keen to hear his story and loves hearing that he was the most beautiful baby.
More
beautiful than his brother and all that.
No.
But also learning about himself and what he was like. And he wants to learn more about it now and he's really interested to go back and find out more about genetics and those questions. So he's listened to some pods as well and he's excited.
Yeah.
He's feeling quite sort of positive about learning more. So we're sitting in a good place and we weren't. So sort of going back there, you know, we had this diagnosis of this floppiness, this global delay. And then there were the other things like the febrile convulsions that went into seizures and he lives with epilepsy.
Yeah.
But, you know, we've learnt to live with that.
Yeah.
He wore glasses really, really early.
Yeah.
He has a peanut allergy. Now, possibly related to...
Yeah.
But I think the hardest thing were the unknowns at that time. You know, we knew the seizures and you deal with those. But not knowing, will he be able to toilet himself?
Yes.
Yeah.
Will he ever be able to walk?
Yeah.
School, what does his life look like?
Yeah.
And, you know, I've got my sister with a disability, you know, there was a lot of reality check stuff going on. Anyway, he did walk and he walked at 2.5 after becoming the world's fastest and most efficient bum shuffler. And he did walk. And it's so funny that the focus was about the walking because all those other developmental issues are still there, but it's about that mobility, right?
It's a really big thing.
It's a really big thing. But what, you know, to get to the 2.5 years was all of that early intervention and going to Noah's Ark you know, 3 times a week, physio, OT, speech, and taking home all that equipment and all that homework and just remembering the names of them, like looking, reading your book, it was just like
no
all,
idea.
And you just kind of wipe it
yeah.
and you feel guilty when you don't do your homework, but you work really hard and, you know, extended family helps because when you're working. So, you know, it was such a full-on time.
Yeah.
Absolutely full-on time.
Yeah, it really is. And I can't sort out because I was frantically busy.
Mm.
But if we didn't have any of that, would I have been withdrawn and in my home and too scared to go anywhere? That's what I've been trying to reflect. So is that busyness – does it have benefits to get a mum out as well?
Yeah.
As well as that it's connection. Good for the children. Mm. Yeah. yeah.
And the endless music therapy and all the rest of it. But, you know, thank goodness we had that because when my sister was little, there was no such thing as early intervention. No. And a diagnosis wasn't found until she was at school.
Yeah.
And that was, you know, because my parents did something about it. The school just said, she'll be all right.
Yeah.
Mum's a teacher.
Right.
I'm at a different school. And they just said she was being anxious because she was a teacher.
No.
And, but there was nothing.
Nothing.
And so that made us so determined with Harry to do these
things. Can you remember that time when she was little? Or?
No. And I do think that's a really interesting thing for siblings of people with disability. They're just our brother or sister.
Yeah.
You know, our frame of reference is that they are what they are. Yeah. Sue was 4 years younger.
Yeah.
I think I just thought, well, she can't do things because she's 4 years younger.
Yes, of course.
You know, and we're pretty involved in ourselves as kids.
Yeah, so we are.
It's true.
Yeah,
you know, and that can stay the same as adults. But as a kid,
it's true.
You're just worried about yourself and your little sister that tags along or whatever.
Yeah.
The only time I did become really aware of it was she was still in primary school. We were at the same school and I was in high school, but we shared a tuck shop and kids in her class came and teased me at lunchtime saying that my sister was the R word and I was devastated.
Anna.
And I just thought, my God, Sue Ellen's life at school must be terrible.
Terrible. Yeah.
If I'm so upset about being teased,
what are they
what
saying
is
to
her life like at school? And she went to a special school, pretty soon after.
Yeah.
But it's been hard. It's been really hard.
I bet.
Kids can be cruel.
And they
back then.
And
there wasn't a lot of acceptance.
No.
I don't think parents, if you didn't have a child with a disability, you quite freely spoke about other kids and put them down. And there was, you know, it wasn't like my mum, very, very inclusive. But, you know, it wasn't like mums were saying, oh, come on, don't be like that. Or, you know, like it was.
And there
just
wasn't a lot of diagnosis. You know, I remember kids in my class who were so naughty.
I know, they weren't neurotypical.
But they were just always in trouble.
Yes.
I know.
So, you know, that's what happened. I mean, Harry, on the other hand, had a brilliant junior school. After the initial prep teacher saying, and my husband reminded me of this, she said, I don't know what I can do for your son.
Mm. Well, you can teach him.
We help.
Him and
include him and make him VIP prep for the week.
Yes,
not waiting till the end of the year.
No.
Harry had the same age all the way through school.
Wow.
And is still a gorgeous friend in our lives.
Yeah.
That made a huge difference.
Yeah.
He has always loved sport, and sport is social currency.
Yes,
so if you've got those football cards and if you can talk about anything to do with sport,
you're in.
Yeah. And he was very popular and very well cared for by his classmates.
Good.
It was beautiful.
Yep.
So it was very hard to make that decision to move him to a special school at the end of year five.
Yeah.
But the gap was getting bigger.
Yep.
Did he notice or were you?
Well, no, because he was class captain.
Yes, of course.
but we noticed you spend more and more time away from the class because the class is starting to do specialised things like Chinese and you're having trouble speaking English.
She was out.
And we could see that was going to happen with high school and it was happening with sport as well.
Yeah.
So we did move him. The sport was an interesting one because the chapter in your book about sport is a classic because we tried all of those sports. And I can't tell you how much money we spent.
So much money. All of those uniforms.
All of that uniform. And Kate, I think that our family has probably paid for ski school.
Yeah.
The building. Because we've invested so many thousands of dollars in lessons, but we got there in the end.
Yep.
And those mainstream, you know, sporting clubs, which are fabulous, and Harry loved
them.
They mean well, and he would front up with so much enthusiasm, and he'd often win the coach's award because he was so enthusiastic and gorgeous. But the other parents started prickling a bit about that because, like, year after year, my kid tries hard too, you know. I'd go along to cricket on a Friday afternoon and I just felt sick watching him because I could see that he was letting the team down.
Yeah.
And, you know, the parents give you the look and he would go out with all the equipment and look brilliant but be hopeless.
Yeah.
So it was hard.
No.
It's not.
I don't know why junior sport – I know Australians are obsessed with sport. Melburnians, it's a religion in our city. Mm. But I just – you know, Mandy and I want the Eastern Fun League. You know, because I know that my boys would love to play sport if it was for fun.
Yes.
They do not want to compete.
Yes.
And they had a thing at school this week that they had to do over home learning and they had to take it into school and they said to me this morning, can you email the teacher and say we don't want to compete with that? Like they just, they don't want to do it.
Mm.
And I don't think you have to. No, I don't compete with anything now.
No.
No.
You know, if you want to run marathons and come first, you can, but it shouldn't be assumed that because you enjoy kicking a soccer ball that you want to be on a team that wants to win every week.
No, yes.
You just want to get out there and get it. So it's really, really needs a shake up.
Yes, and hopefully Special Olympics is helping to do that a little. But, when Harry went to his special school, it wasn't enough sport for him, you know, and he's in that group that just has to have a lot of sport. Yep. He actually initially didn't want to go to the school because they didn't have an oval.
Yep. They've got
basketball courts, but they have to go up the road to the oval and that was not pleasing.
Yeah.
Anyway, we overcame that hurdle and I put myself on the school committee so I could get sport going after school. Because I'd see Max, his older brother, do after school sport nearly every night of the week and homework.
Yeah.
And you leave school at Harry's school.
And do nothing.
There's no homework. Yeah. And from 3:30 onwards, you're on your screen.
That's exactly right.
So we started, basketball after school and cross-country running and triathlon training and then some snow sports. So we got it going.
Yeah.
But then it's like, well, what is this sort of sport for people with disabilities all about? It is so confusing.
It is confusing. You know,
what's Paralympics? What's Special Olympics? And it's really hard to find the answers.
It totally is. And it wasn't until I really went to the special school and I was like, oh, actually now there's another world we could go to because I didn't know where she fitted in.
Yeah. Mm. It's really confusing. Mm. It's really confusing.
Yeah. Mm. Yep. And, you know, think about all the families with kids with disabilities in primary school that are just ready and waiting to join. They've got nothing to go to or they don't know what to do.
Yeah, that's right.
That's right. Mm. So it's
very, very tricky.
Mm. Mm. So I suppose that's been Harry's story up until, you know, he got to school and sport continued for him, which has been fantastic.
And did he like school?
He did love school. It was a bit of a shock to go to the special school with no aid. Like, who's going to now help me?
That's true.
And everybody was there with no aid.
Yes.
So I was like, oh, just a minute. Yeah. Here we are. Oh, we have to do it on our own now.
Yeah.
But no, he loves school and he's a very social boy. So school was a happy time. And I know that is not the story for many people.
Yeah.
So we feel, you know, very blessed
grateful
in that,
for that.
And very grateful for that.
Yeah.
Well, that's good. That. Yeah.
Terrific. You take the wins where you can get them.
Totally.
You sure do.
So we want to talk to you about Special Olympics.
Yes.
So how did you get involved?
Well, trying to find the answers, right?
Yeah.
In this minefield of what can sport and disability be all about.
Yeah.
And I got involved because Harry got involved with snow sports.
Right.
So we discovered that there was a pathway that could be taken after we did the multi-class snow sports, which we were involved with, you know, a number of different schools.
Yep.
And this sort of whole world was there of Special Olympics. But, you know, what's quite confusing is what is Special Olympics and what is Paralympics, right?
Tell us.
So, you know, it's with Tokyo on quite recently. Yes. And didn't we all love watching every minute of it? Our website at Special Olympics went through the roof, the number of visits, because people are trying to find out, you know, how do I get involved? What's Paralympics? What's Special Olympics? And it's pretty simple but quite confusing.
Yeah.
So Paralympics always backs on to the back of the Olympics every 4 years.
Yes.
It's a global event, and it's primarily for people with physical disabilities.
Yes.
People with intellectual disabilities are really underrepresented.
Yes. They really are.
They at Paralympic level.
Yep. Yep.
So there were 4,400 athletes worldwide who competed in the Paralympics.
Mm.
120 of them had an intellectual disability.
Yes. Yeah.
And only 12 from Australia.
Todd Hodgetts, I know.
Yes. Yep. Good old Todd, who's a great spokesperson.
Yes. Mm.
So this is an area underrepresented that
is, Ella Party. You know,
So it's a real push to do that, but it takes a long time to change anything at the IOC.
We
know this, and we haven't been helped. So classification is really challenging.
It really is.
And it wasn't until the Atlanta Olympics in 1996 that people with intellectual disability were even included in the Olympics.
Yeah. Mm.
And then we stuffed it up because in the year 2000 in Sydney, the Spanish basketball team had only 2 people of their 12 that had an intellectual disability.
They fudged.
Yes.
So intellectual disability hasn't got a great name.
No.
And we're working really hard to change that. And Todd's working really hard and to get more sports included, because at the moment there's only 3 sports.
It's so wrong, because if a country let, you know, 10 of their players all use enhancing drugs, sportive drugs, they wouldn't say, oh, well, that sport can't be in anymore in that country. They're just, those athletes would get in trouble.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah. So, yeah.
So it's all about that classification and change. Mm. And I think, you know, that's a work towards. Mm. And Sports Inclusion Australia are the body that look after people with intellectual disability in that elite space and create world championships and national championships, which, you know, Harry's been lucky enough to be involved in triathlon and cycling.
Yeah. Yeah.
So they do a great job. Special Olympics is very different.
Mm.
Yeah. We carry that Olympics title, which we're very proud of, but gee, it's frustrating at times.
Yes.
Because Special Olympics is for anyone with an intellectual disability or autism to come and play and practice and compete in sport all year round.
Yes. Yes.
All year round.
It is all year round.
Any ability is welcome.
Yes.
From 8 to 78 is our eldest athlete. So it's a lifelong membership.
Fantastic.
And in 18 different sports in Australia.
Amazing.
So there's a lot on offer and it is not elite. I've had parents say to me, oh, my child could never do Special Olympics. They're not good enough. That could be so far from the
truth. So that's where the barrier is.
Anybody
is elite. Got it.
And we can create these terrific competitions and training just by putting people, athletes, into a division based on abilities and make a really fun competition for those that want to compete or just come along and train, because that's the other thing. It's the friendship and belonging is superb.
It is.
Yeah. It is absolutely amazing.
Well, that's what actually sport is about.
I know. I feel like everyone needs to come and watch and you'll see that's
The joy.
The joy
of just getting involved. Yeah. So, you know, that's the difference. So Paralympics.
Was it started in America or something? Where did it start?
So Special Olympics started in 1968.
Yep.
In the States. It's worldwide now in 170 countries with 6 million athletes.
Yeah.
Wow.
That, unbelievable.
Get involved now. We need to get so much bigger in Australia. Yeah. We've got 7,000 participants at the moment.
Let's but do a piece.
It will only grow. So Paralympics, elite, mainly physical disabilities.
Yep.
A few people with intellectual disabilities, Special Olympics, anyone with an intellectual disability, any ability.
Yep.
And to be honest, if you've got a kid with an intellectual disability, they're probably going to end up with a medal in Special Olympics.
Yes. Which would be awesome.
Before Paralympics, to be perfectly honest.
You've got to be the best of the best in the Paralympics, right?
Yeah.
Only the best.
Only the best.
That is fantastic.
Yeah.
You can't be what you can't see.
Yeah.
And we need to have those role models in sport.
Totally.
But we also need to have a place where we can all play sport.
So when I did the application, I had to put in a IQ test, a score, and all the other bits and bobs. It wasn't too hard.
No, it's not hard.
It was a bit of paperwork, but I did it.
Yeah.
So.
Something that we do ask for is a medical assessment. And the reason we do that, is because we want to help families of people with disability to go and have a decent doctor's appointment and assessment and think about, you know, the fact that we've got athletes who are up to 78 and the fact that we go and ask them to have a medical check every 4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
We've had athletes who they've discovered through this medical assessment have actually got some underlying health conditions that they hadn't otherwise hadn't been uncovered because they just go for a script normally. Ability to just get those health screenings is really important to Special Olympics.
There's a purpose.
Yep. And at our major events, we actually have health professionals at the events and offer health screenings in podiatry, eyesight, audiology, because we feel like they're there.
Yes.
So while you're waiting for your event,
what a great idea.
Quickly have your feet looked at.
Perfect.
No nail polish.
Darn it. That's okay.
But at the World Games in Abu Dhabi that Special Olympics ran a couple of years ago, they did 18,000 health screenings, which is amazing. So just bringing that other side of health and well-being along.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
I remember ringing up the head office and there was a young man who had an intellectual disability.
Yes.
Answer the phone, take all my details. I nearly howled my eyes out. I just thought, oh, this is brilliant.
Yep. Yes. Yep. That would have been Chris. We've got quite a team of athletes, people with intellectual disability who work at Special Olympics but also take volunteer roles through the athlete leadership program.
Yep.
We figure Special Olympics is actually their organisation, so they should have a voice.
Yes.
So every club needs to have an athlete who sits in their committee.
Yep, brilliant.
We have athlete leaders at state committee and also on the board. Two athletes sit on the board. And behind that goes leadership training and a lot of experience to help our athlete leaders to speak at events, to be involved in community engagement. And one of my highlights this year was to go on an athlete leader camp up to Mount Buller.
Oh. Oh.
And I organised for us to go up and stay at the lodge that we're members of.
Yep.
And it was in May and I thought, right, we're going to go and do all these outdoor activities, go hiking, no skiing or anything, hiking and do a treasure hunt.
Yeah.
It dumped with snow.
That's right. We did have a really early dump.
And we got the bus stuck. We had to hike to the accommodation. It was so exciting.
That's what I love about the mountains.
So it's exciting. So
unpredictable.
It was hilarious.
Yep.
And the whole weekend was hilarious. And all of those things that happen that, you know, what happens on the camp stays on the camp.
Yep.
But one of my highlights was seeing these 20 young adults sitting around the fire at night, playing music, playing cards, just being 20-year-olds. And they don't get this opportunity to do it. And they're hanging out and just laughing and having fun.
The young adults.
It was so fun.
Yes.
Not telling them to go to bed. It was just all on. Beautiful.
So
cool. It was so cool. It was so good.
It's spine tingling.
So before we get into some of the messaging, let's talk about what might happen in 2027.
Well, that's pretty exciting.
Yeah.
So I suppose it comes off the fact that we've been halted on and off for these last 2 years.
Yeah,
and
really have.
Fortunately, some of the peas that are in our northern states, so Queensland's been going and Western Australia, and they're running along really nicely, and in South Australia with games. New South Wales and Victoria starting back and pretty excited to start back. So we'll have a few events by the end of the year.
Yeah,
so
awesome.
Community events at the clubs.
Right.
And also some sports training. And then next year is chock-a-block with all the events, and culminating really in our national games down in Launceston.
Ooh.
And I happen to know that Miss Molly has made the Victorian team.
Yes!
So as long as her mum says tick the box,
she
will
go.
Be there. So
was it for the 200 metres?
It's for athletics.
Okay,
so let's just say
it's
athletics
favorite.
At this stage.
Yeah. Oh, that's amazing.
So, and relays and goodness knows what else, which is all so exciting because you stay with the team and, you know, you hang out and you get all the uniforms.
So I'm not allowed to stay? Is that the truth? Okay, we'll be brave.
But you can come and be very close by.
Okay, thank you.
And be very close by. So that's very exciting. And where we're heading towards is a bid to host the World Games.
Wow.
In 2027 in Western Australia.
Wow.
And it's never been held in this part of the world.
Wow. Yes.
So it is spine tingling.
Yes.
So 8,000 athletes from 170 countries.
Oh, people.
And the change that will bring to Australia and inclusion with such a massive event. And, you know, to run a bid and to get agreement from our Australian government to run something like this is massive.
Yes.
So fingers crossed that next year that will be the announcement. And then it's all systems go.
What countries are we up against?
It's all secret. We're looking pretty good.
Who do we have to take down?
So it's in Berlin in 2023.
Yes,
so Molly better run fast in Launceston. Actually, it's not about running fast.
No,
it's about being picked, which is a bit of a random selection, which is so awesome.
Yeah.
So anybody can have a chance to get there. And then in Western Australia, how awesome would that be?
Can you imagine that team coming into oh, my gosh, I'm bawling my eyes out.
Yeah. And WA do need to let us all in by then, but they promise they will.
2027, I reckon.
Time. By then, they will absolutely let us in. And it'll be 26 sports, and AFL will be like the demonstration sport. So we'll do really well in that one, won't we?
Yeah, we really will.
We care. Gold.
So that's the sort of sports side of it, which is huge and so exciting, and you know what kid wouldn't want to wear the green and gold?
Oh yeah, that's right,
and all the rest of it. But Special Olympics is so much more than that, and I think that's why I'm involved, because I can see as a mum involved just the friendships that we've made sitting watching those endless events. With other parents who are in exactly the same boat or even a couple of years ahead of you.
Yes.
So you learn so much
and
share those stories and the anguish, but also the joy and the laughter and the just
so
absolutely
funny.
Breaking up when you see, you know, some of the things that go on. Oh, my goodness, you know. And
even doing the athlete pledge, you know, like I just quietly have tears running down my eyes.
Yeah.
I'm so proud of them. I don't even know them and I'm proud of them.
Yeah. So at every event, the an athlete says the oath.
Yeah.
And the oath is, let me win, but if I cannot win, let me be brave in the attempt. Mm. And it's just so true. And they all, you know, so we all have a little bit of a week with that. Yeah. And they are so brave.
Yes.
Yeah.
And they're so brave if it's the standing long jump or the softball throw.
Yep. Oh, I love the softball.
Or to our athletes who are so skilled and can have the most amazing doubles match in tennis.
That's right.
Yep. Who will argue the line call like the best of them.
Brilliant. You know?
So it's such a brilliant range of sports and it really is lifelong when you see our athletes who get involved in, you know, maybe basketball and then one day basketball just gets too fast.
Yeah.
So there's bocce.
Yeah, perfect. You know? Yeah.
And I love that.
We're
going
to head to bocce.
Yeah.
She's good at it.
And it's a range of sports. Harry is a bit of a sports tart.
Yeah.
So tarts around.
Yeah.
And part of that is the equipment and trying something new. But he, you know, he's done at Special Olympics, he's done some bowling, swimming, aths, tennis and basketball, so getting around.
Mm.
Yesterday he said he thought he might try rowing because he walked past some
rowers.
So he does get around. And on the weekend he had a golf lesson because Special Olympics is doing golf now. So, you know, there's a good range of sports.
Do you want to read out all the sports? Everybody?
Do I?
Yeah.
I'm going to, as you said, read out the
sports. Yeah, read them out.
I will. One of my favourite volunteers said, do it alphabetically.
Okay.
You've got more chance.
Okay, great.
So there's athletics, basketball, bocce, 10-pin bowling, so bowling, cricket, dance, equestrian, football / soccer, golf, gymnastics, and for those gymnastics people, it's artistic and rhythmic.
Oh, beautiful.
Netball, powerlifting, sailing, softball, swimming, table tennis, tennis and winter sports, so that's skiing and snowboarding. So
excellent.
Quite a range, and my sister has recently joined equestrian.
Tell us.
She's been riding all of her life.
Right.
Competing in mainstream.
Right.
Boy, oh boy. How incredible at 52 to still be riding this enormous warm blood mare. She's huge and beautiful. Sue Ellen came along with me to watch equestrian and all the horsey people got together and talked horsey things and the mounted police came because the police are very involved in Special Olympics with law enforcement torch run. And we had a lovely horsey day and she watched and she's possibly going to watch for a little bit more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But she's going to start competing and they're doing some virtual competitions where you film yourself riding.
Right. Oh, that's gorgeous.
And which might be a nice way to get started.
Yes.
And
gentle way.
You know, her confidence has been rocked over the years and so to be able to start getting involved in this, she's done well in her mainstream competitions but it's hard and to be sort of gathered amongst
it's
all
nice
these horsey
people
and who have challenges. So riding for disabled get very involved in that as well. So it's really good and, you know, hard to find when she was growing up, but never too late.
No.
Which is great.
That is
really
brilliant.
Good. Yeah.
Oh,
it's
so lovely. You're so enthusiastic. I can feel it in the room.
Yeah.
I suppose you took a bit of a battering in the pandemic too. Like, you know, how are we going to sustain all this? And I don't know. Did you?
Yeah.
Or,
yeah. Well, all of the fundraising events obviously took a hit.
Yeah.
We're supposed to be at the MCG in a couple of weeks for a lunch for 250 people. About raising awareness for Special Olympics, you know, in that corporate space, which is where some of our fundraising comes. So that's been postponed till February and we'll run with it.
Yeah.
And at club level, all of those, you know, normal fundraisers haven't happened.
Mm.
We've done the very best we can to keep connected with people both at, you know, national level with big competitions, you know, virtual competitions, colouring competitions and 20 activities in 20 days and virtual discos and WhatsApp groups
that's really helpful, that group.
And and Zoom bingo and you name it, we've tried it.
But it's exhausting though, isn't it?
Well, it's exhausting, and it doesn't take away from the fact that every week we get the phone calls, when can we go back to sport?
Yes,
please, can I come back to sport? Please, 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 can I come back to sport? So we've been really excited over the last couple of weeks to have those meetings and say, yep, we're going back. Have that vax clinic.
Yeah. Oh, Anna, that was the best.
Incredible.
I just remember ringing the Royal Children's and they were like, no, you can't come here. That might have changed now. And then your message came through. And I was like, someone has organised this for me. Thank you.
And Aspen Medical were fantastic because we had people that were able to work, you know, the nurses were great with people with disability who were frightened. I had one gorgeous 10-pin bowler who said to me, Anna, I wasn't going to get the vaccination, but Special Olympics have said that they're doing the vaccination so I can go to the national games next year. So I'm having it. And so is my family. Oh, Callum, thank you so much. Yeah, thank you for helping.
Well done,
and
Callum.
Everybody felt like they'd contributed.
Totally.
And we were able to offer those vaccination opportunities around Australia. So that's
great. And
for
the siblings.
And the siblings.
Awesome. And I was looking
and the
at
carers.
All these siblings, siblings turning up and I was like, oh, you're a P family and you're a P family. And, oh, it was just beautiful.
And a lot of our volunteers are carers now and fit. They fitted into that demographic that weren't going to be able to get the vaccination for ages.
That's right.
So it was really good. And it was so fun to chat to everybody.
It was just an outing.
And it was an outing.
I was just like, girls,
seriously,
we're going to Box Hill.
It was seriously
exciting.
We had a lady that came from Bendigo on her outing. So that was fantastic. And I think, you know, it's then going to be all systems go and to be meeting in person, which is great. And getting back to sport because we know that people with intellectual disability, there are, 850,000 Australians with intellectual disability and over 200,000 of those are kids.
Very underrepresented in sport.
And underrepresented, yet the biggest disability. Well, as Australians, none of us really did very well in terms of the stats on us doing physical activity. About 50% of us are not doing enough, but 75% of us, if we've got an intellectual disability, are not getting enough sport.
Yeah.
So all of those chronic health issues, you know, diabetes, cardiovascular issues, osteoporosis, asthma, and all those mental health challenges are just exacerbated in
that
community.
How important it was. I mean, I do not like exercising, but during the pandemic, it was my time.
Yes.
And every time I'd come back, I'd think, oh, I feel so much
better.
And I remember psychologists saying to me, go for a walk. And I never noticed the difference, but now I'm like, oh,
it is. And, you know, I see Harry coming home from running. And it's chat, because all of those endorphins are
like
just
when my
going
boys have skied.
Crazy.
Like, you are different,
people. So Harry went back to his running group last night. And, you know, one thing I do want to say is Special Olympics is absolutely fantastic, but so are so many sporting clubs. Don't just do Special Olympics.
Right.
You can
well,
just do.
There's lots of kids that are in both streams that doing the para, the multi-class stuff for Team Vic, and then they're also doing Special Olympics.
Exactly. Yeah. And sometimes Special Olympics might give you that step into being confident. And we've been very fortunate to get some grants to go into all special schools in Queensland, New South Wales, Victoria and South Australia with a Special Olympics program, which is all about preparing children to, A, start moving in those fun activities, but prepare for community sports to have that confidence, which
would very have different.
Made a huge difference for Harry, my sister, so many people. So with that confidence, then you can go and join, you know, like the so Harry's in the Xavier Running Group, which is the most inclusive, you know, mainstream running group in Australia, I reckon.
Yeah.
Came back last night after the first thing, chatter, ate so much. But so excited. And then, you know, he does his triathlon and cycling with IST with Liz Gosper and that crew.
Great.
So there's that crew. Yeah. And, you know, for him in his life, which is his vocation.
Yeah.
you know, too much sport is never enough.
Yep. Yeah.
And that's just the way he rocks. And it's brilliant. Not for everybody, but I've seen the benefits just from a bit of sport.
Yeah.
And Special Olympics, Pricewaterhouse did a study for us in Australia just a couple of years ago and found that Special Olympics athletes do about 4.5 hours of sport a week,
Be
it at their training or at home, just go for a walk, you know, whatever it is. And along with that, they figure that about we're giving back to Australia 4.5 million each year just in those health and well-being because we're not, you know, we're avoiding medical appointments and we're maybe staving off some of those medical issues because we can keep people doing sport for a very long time.
Yes,
so important.
As well as all the social things.
Yeah.
So if you've got part of it is just wanting to go along and be part of a team
or just belong.
You know, that's part of it. Like, if I don't turn up to training, somebody will miss me.
Yes. And or even just getting that uniform.
And it's like, this is your uniform. I heard about a gorgeous boy who's pretty new to Special Olympics. He's come to us for soccer.
Yeah.
And he does soccer in an all-abilities club as well, and he does swimming, and it sounds like his mother's driving him
everywhere.
Well, she wants to be because she wants to be open up and driving.
Yeah, yeah. We do.
And I said, so why does he keep coming back to Special Olympics? Well, it'd have something to do with the uniform, the bag and all the equipment. But it's also he loves the coach who is just brilliant and the other kids that are there.
Yes.
So he's expected to be there and he goes along. Mm. And that feeling of I want to be part of it and I don't want to miss out or let my teammates down is something that builds those lifelong habits.
And it's what their siblings do or, you know, so it's just it's what average families do.
So when Harry was a little boy, he just used to follow what his brother was doing for sport and tag along on the sidelines with us. So
you get done
to
that.
Have his time.
Yes.
And we're finding that we can involve the siblings a lot more at Special Olympics with unified sport and have those teams. We've got some basketball teams that are neurotypical athletes playing with in the same team.
Oh, that sounds awesome.
And they have the best time because some of our basketballers are so good.
I know.
That we need to put it up to them for the competition. And
they don't want to come off the court. I'm telling you, I've seen it.
Yes, well, that's, that can be a little bit awkward.
Don't have to come off.
No, you need me. You need me here. I will turn this game around.
The best.
Thank you for that.
So they
are terrific.
Yeah.
And, you know, they feel very much part of this organisation.
Yeah.
And I think we're really seeing the organisation change in that respect, in that this is my club, my sporting club. It's not my parents taking me along to this. I'm a Special Olympics athlete and this is what I want to do.
And I might be going with my support worker.
Yes.
You know, there's quite a lot of support workers driving.
Yes.
That I've noticed. So,
Yeah, and involving them. And, you know, one of the things that we've been able to do and I was one of the reasons I wanted to get on the board and start looking at it as at a strategic level is to get involved with NDIS.
Yes, I was just about to say that.
And help people achieve their sporting goals and their community and involvement goals.
Of course.
And use their NDIS plans
if
appropriate. Yes. And we've been able to put on a person to look after that
Brilliant.
And to start working with families to achieve that because we needed to learn about NDIS and how it could work. So, you know, everyone would have a plan. And that's a real game changer for our athletes to open some doors
and
help them go to the national games and be part of a team.
Terrific.
And fulfill their goals. So, you know, that's going to be really important and help Special Olympics to really have a voice in that disability space, which is so important.
Exciting.
Oh, so exciting. Listen, this enthusiasm.
When we arrived for the first time, Naomi was the lady at our club and she could see me coming down with Molly who did not want to go and she just came and sat down quietly next to her and said, would you like to come for a walk with me around the track and just warm up? And off they went. And I was just like, oh my gosh,
someone
like somebody helped. You know?
Yeah.
It was really, I thought, oh, people can help me here.
Yeah.
It's so important. And you know, I think it's really hard to turn up for that first time.
It was really hard.
It is really
hard.
She
had to bribe her with everything.
Yep. Yep.
She basically ate a packet of Alan's lollies the whole way.
Yes. And then she would have had that sugar high ready to go.
Yeah, I know, but it didn't help. And then I said we would get Macca's on the way home.
Yeah.
It was hard to turn up.
Really,
and
hard.
I didn't know anybody.
No,
but luckily I'm someone that doesn't – I'm not worried about that.
Yeah.
But I didn't have a frame of reference, but I just thought, I think this is going to be our place.
Yeah. And so many of our – volunteers and coaches have got lived experience and have you know, been in that space for a long time and have turned up that first time as well and been terrified.
Yes.
And, you know, we know that if training's in the afternoon, goodness knows what's happened at home
that
day. Right. And then you found the shoes and did you get the water bottle and the hat and that's just yours.
That's the wrong hat.
And that's the wrong hat. And what should I wear and where is this anyway? And now we're running really late and should I even go
because,
you know. And so we know that and we hear that and see it. And so one of the things that we're working so hard on, and our volunteers are great at this, is welcoming you with no judgment, a smile, and looking after mum and dad or the carer, and also looking after the athlete and saying, well, you know, we've got this. Yeah. We can do this. You come and we'll sort it out.
Yeah. And it was the best.
It's just amazing. That first time getting there.
Yeah.
And then no matter what the ability, is it, you know, learning to throw a softball instead of a shot put?
Yeah, that was the best.
Or learning to run in the lines.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The javelin.
Well, we don't do javelin.
No, but that rocket thing. That rocket thing?
Vortex.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah.
They tend not to do javelin with intellectual disability and for obvious reasons probably, but vortex. For sure.
Yeah. That's what I meant. I could see it in my head.
Yeah. We'll do the vortex till the cows come home.
Yeah.
And then some really top athletes who are trying to improve their time.
Yeah, amazing
and
runners.
So, who get involved in the coaching, which they love too.
Yes.
So, you know, getting there that first time is the hardest.
Yeah, it
but
was, actually.
But there'll always be a friendly face and no judgment
and there was.
Whatsoever.
Yeah.
No judgment.
There was. Yeah. Oh, wow. We could talk to you all day.
We really could.
Oh, boy.
Especially because we're actually seeing a person in the pop-up.
Oh, yes.
It's
quite exciting.
So we will put everything we need to know in the show notes.
Yes, it'll all be in the show notes.
Sure.
But is there anything we've missed that you would love to tell our people?
Just so we've got 46 clubs around Australia.
Yeah.
Mm. So there is a club that will be offering the sport that you want to do somewhere in Australia.
Right.
Yep. Please come and give it a go.
Yeah.
And if you're listening and you already go to Special Olympics, ask somebody else along because the joy that you've experienced and the joy that we experience, you know, there's a lot of people there with intellectual disability who would benefit so much. So share the love, share the joy and come along that first time.
Yes.
We'll look after the rest. So so jump on the website, specialolympics.com.au, call the 1-300 number or send us an inquiry and we'll match you up and get involved.
Yeah.
It's as easy, but I know it's really hard.
Yeah.
But it's easy if you
can. I did it, people, and you know I
get there.
I get all fuddled by these things, but I did it.
Yes.
And if it's look out for it at your school, if you're at a special school, look out for it. And if it's not at your school, ask.
Yes.
Can we please have Special Olympics come and visit us?
Yes.
Because that could just be the thing that changes things for you and, you know, get started.
Mm.
Get started. So,
Anna, thank you.
Oh, thank you so much. I could talk about this all day too, as you know.
No, well, we will share this far and wide.
We will.
Thank you.
We'll be going around the world. So, you know, it's brilliant.
Yeah, and exciting to think that maybe in Perth in
2027. Go Molly.
Yes.
Go Molly.
And everybody else.
But, you know, Tassie, like how exciting to even think about that.
Oh, so exciting. Yes. And think of those other things we can do in Tassie.
Oh my gosh. Oh, like a market. Oh my gosh.
Winery.
There's some really good gin.
There's excellent gin. There's golf.
Yes.
I mean, Launceston's got Bogue's Brewery.
Yes.
And I love a brewery tour.
You know what we need to do is have a Pease live show.
We have a Pease live show during the Special
during
Olympics.
The Special Olympics.
Let's
out in Tassie.
Let's do it. Speak 100%. To some athletes.
Yeah, we can easily do that.
That will be, you know, you'll just have to schedule that in with
Yeah.
You know, your well, trips maybe to the wineries. Yeah. On, but we I'm can sure do that. You can do it. You're amazing multi-skillers, you girls. So thank you very much for having me.
We will come, Tazzy. Thank you, Anna. Wow, that was awesome. A, to have her here.
Yes.
And B, to hear all about Special Olympics and her story.
And just the enthusiasm of someone who's passionate about something.
Yes, and she's making change.
Yeah,
yes, women, this is the P's. Women and P women. Women.
Yeah.
My
unstoppable.
Goodness. Unstoppable. Made me want to join the committee.
I know. I know. That's right. I used to be like that about things.
me too. But I feel excited about.
This is a committee, you and me.
I'm the, what are you? You're the chair?
Yeah, you're the secretary.
I am the, which is
because
terrible.
Because you do all the posting, you organise all the interviews.
I'm the treasurer as well.
You are the treasurer. And oh, I reply social, to the email, social media.
Yeah, your social media.
It's a big committee. Oh, dear.
What a committee.
Yeah. It's not one that anyone else would really.
Do I have to, like, reapply next year?
No. You can't quit either.
Okay, so, right, let's do our cry, laugh, make a difference. Yes. What made you cry this week?
So I haven't had a really teary week.
No,
I think I've been
either.
Anxious because Victoria's opened back up.
Yeah.
And we went like a bull at a gate to open up. Yes. We're just like, all right, we're doing it. We've ripped the Band-Aid off. It's weird.
It's weird. I was anxious too.
Yeah, number one daughter's like, it feels like you're on a holiday overseas or interstate and it's not quite what you're used to and it's probably going to end soon.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, is it going to be a snap opening or is it a – I don't think so. I think now that we're getting vaccinated, we'll stay open, but it's scary.
It's scary.
So many of our kids have had cases at their school and their school's shut.
It's not a celebration like last year when I think, you know, we got to the zero cases and we came out and it felt – yeah, this is not the same.
And it was this day last year when you and I are recording that we had our zero, our donut day.
Oh, was it?
Yeah. So it was a year ago that we felt all that hope.
Yeah.
And I suppose now we're realising, oh, we have to live with this sucker.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's not going anywhere. Yeah. And we're just going to have to cope.
Yeah. So people like Freedom Day, I did not feel like that at all. I just felt like, okay, we'll just take what we can and do what we can.
Yes. Yeah. That's right. But
I didn't cry either.
I got a bit teary. Buzz and Woody went and had their second vaccination. And I just want to say that, you know, we've all said a lot of things about the government over the last year, but the way they help children with additional needs and disabilities get that vaccine is next level. And I am so grateful. You know, we just walked up, they had our name at the door. We were in a special tent. We didn't have to mix with anyone. You know, Buzz had a bit of a reaction. The nurses were there with him for half an hour. It was, I just thought, how are we so lucky to live here?
Yeah.
It's 5 minutes from my home. I don't have to pay anything.
Yeah.
All these people are bending over backwards to make sure this experience is as streamlined and painless as possible. And I will be forever grateful. And then when I got home, I was quite emotional.
Yeah.
And I want them vaccinated, right? Like we all do. So, yeah, I was like, wow.
Well, not everyone, because there's people that don't.
I know. Sorry.
Yes.
I speak for the P's. I think the P's are
are
very pro-vaccine because we have too many vulnerable people in our lives to have. My friend Kate, I was talking to her, and she said, it's a privileged country that can decide whether they believe in a vaccine or not.
Mm.
And she said, if you're in the developing world, you know, like
it's
I think India's given out 1 billion doses.
Yeah. Yep.
Happily taking it because people were dying.
That's right.
So I'm not getting into vax chat.
No.
Don't you worry about that.
No.
But
no.
I felt really happy about that.
I was more relieved that yesterday was meant to be the last day of crisis schooling. I said, how about we just don't do it? I was like, I was already out.
Yeah,
like I did the Monday.
No.
I did the long division. I did the, but then because I've been doing long division all last week, we had a dinner on the Friday night and I tallied up the Uber Eats and then I did long division between seven people how much it cost. I showed them the workings out. I was so proud of myself.
I carried
everything. And then I showed them the workings and they were like, Mandy, well done. You've done a really good grade 5 week.
Stick it for you.
But I thought I just don't have it in me anymore to rally her. But, yeah, we're still more days to go.
By the time this comes out,
we'll
be back. But, we've still got a few more days.
Yeah, same.
Whether we do it, I don't know. Sorry,
school,
if you're listening.
Well, I didn't. I gave up.
I
was like, well, I took Wellbeing Wednesday to the extreme and we went and got our toenails painted.
Go good.
I high-fived her in the seats.
Yes.
And I said, we did it, even though I'm thinking most of it was terrible. But
yeah,
we
but
did
that's
it.
Okay.
Yeah. And I what I wanted was to end it as well as I could. So yes. I feel happy that I was able to do that.
Yeah. And we won't take for granted. I remember even after last year, because Melbourne went through that big lockdown, which Sydney now knows what it's like. So, Sydney, I want you to imagine you've got to do it all again next year.
Yeah.
No, don't imagine that. It's not a very nice place. But even after that, I still hadn't taken for granted doing anything.
No.
Like, and
was that your make a difference? What did you do? Because I did a few things.
Oh, yeah. My make a difference is it can't be anything other than having people walk through my front door, right? So Shenanigans and his wife and my two nephews and Buzz and Lorraine came on Friday night. Oh. We actually had drinks in the pod bar. It's been so long, you know. So that was incredible. And then my brother Shenanigans has built me a little garage shed thing because we just have a carport. And number one daughter and her boyfriend came home and he's like, "You're all just standing around the shed talking and you were so happy." And I thought, what's going on?
Nothing.
Just like, nothing. We just we're all together. The shed. And look, we've got a shed and we're all together. So, yeah.
So funny.
And you know what else has made a difference? Not having to nominate for the podcast awards.
Yes. I saw it come out and I thought, like, oh well, phew, we didn't have to do that.
It's a year of no nominations.
Self.
Yes, because you have to choose to go in the podcast awards, right? It's not – they don't listen and go,
oh, they're great.
They're great.
Jeez,
no.
I wish they would. That would save a lot of effort. It's a lot of effort.
You have to put all these clips together and apply, and there's not really a category for us.
No.
So, yep.
Yeah. So, yep, that is a relief. We didn't have to do that.
Yep.
Okay, made a difference for me was I went out to a friend's house for dinner on Friday night for her birthday. We still sat outside, though.
Yeah, but, so it was a beautiful night. We sat outside too.
But I also thought, I think we were still freaked out about going into a home.
Yeah,
like,
it feels really
weird. It feels really weird. And then I went out for lunch on the Saturday and then I went to a 50th birthday on the Sunday.
Oh,
and that's where I took the photo. I was wearing the dress that I bought for Australian of the Year.
If you follow us on Instagram, you'll have seen the beautiful photo of Mandy.
And, I mean,
I know.
It just felt surreal. I just kept saying, I can't believe we're here.
No.
I can't believe we're here.
I can't believe we're doing this.
And this particular friend who turned 50's had
a tough.
Very, very hard time. Mm. So I was so thrilled to be able to celebrate her. We got a cake from Michelle Sweet Treats. Oh, my gosh, it was magnificent.
Oh, Michelle, you're the queen.
So that was my make a difference.
Yeah. And I think every single P who's been in lockdown would have exactly the same make a
difference.
Well,
some people might not have gone out.
No.
Like I went out three times. It was a lot. My kids were like, what?
You're like, sorry. You've seen me for 6 months, but I'm gone now.
I know. But now they're telling me, I'm going out Friday night. We're doing this Saturday. Molly's going to go to the movies with her friends. Oh, I just, what?
I know.
I just will cry my eyes out when she drives off with Amy. I just.
I know.
So happy for her.
I know, and I do really, really, and I think we'll just say this every week, for those of you with medically complex children or vulnerable children who can't get the vaccine,
this
is a terrifying time and you do not want to hear us crapping on about
this.
No,
that's right, so we won't do it again.
But it was big to us.
What about your laugh?
So what made me laugh a lot this week was I was talking to Woody, and I don't know how we brought it up, but he said to me, I've decided I don't want to do small talk. I don't want to do
it. Fair enough.
I just want to do massive talk.
Me too.
Yeah, let's not do
this
small talk.
That's what the whole podcast is about.
Yeah, we just have massive talk. And I was like, yeah, I feel you. You are my child.
I agree with you.
Because apart from our weather chat, I'm not a small talker.
No.
I'm straight into the, how are you going?
Oh,
cool.
Yeah.
Right in, we're in.
Oh.
And so, yeah, and I think, good, massive talk.
Massive.
No small talk.
Yeah, no more small talk. I was at Aldi and my friend pulled up next to me and she was in the disabled park as well. Yeah. She goes, do you have your pass? Straight into it. And then I went straight into, and then this, and then that. And she goes, yeah, I'm past small talk.
Oh,
I said, everyone in Melbourne is.
Oh, no small talk.
This is how
talk.
I really am just through the car
talk.
Window. Massive talk. I took Molly for a walk because her sister's got to go to school. This is a big story that I can't really talk about in terms of the specialist school, but she's not back yet, and I do not have the fight in me for that. Anyway, we went to Warrandyte, if you know Melbourne, and we walked along the river there with the dog. And we're walking along, and she just goes, Mum. And I wasn't looking and I just stopped and there was this old couple kissing.
Oh.
I know, but she was freaked right out.
Not enamored by that.
And I was just sort of taken back like, okay.
Okay, yeah.
All right, they're really going for it.
Having a pash.
Having a big pash.
Wow.
Well, she has not forgotten that. So we had to like do a 360 and walk like we couldn't walk past them. It was so funny. I thought, well, maybe they haven't seen each other. Maybe it was a day because it was one of the first days out. It was a Friday.
Yeah.
So we're out of the lockdown. So maybe they hadn't seen each other. So they went to stand by that swirling river and have a big old kiss.
Do not relate. But okay.
I just thought, wow, we just haven't seen things.
No, we haven't seen things.
Yeah, she was so funny. Yeah, and then the next thing that made me laugh was Miss Tan has been spending a lot of time on her screens, of course, she would just say things to her friends like AFK, and then she'll run out of the room and I'll be like, I don't know what she's talking about. And then we found out it means away from the keyboard.
Yeah.
So I don't know all that because I don't have gamers, right? So then I said, well, tell me some more. And she goes, POS. And I said, what's that? And she goes, parent over shoulder. That and she goes, and this is a good one, Mum. You can say this one to Kate. CBM, child bugging me. I was like, yes, I can. There's plenty of CBMs in this house. Oh, it's really a whole new world to me. That was so funny. The pash and all the pash, those. Yeah.
Yeah.
CBM.
Yeah, CBM. CBF, I've heard of.
I know, that's right. And then someone else said, yeah, WTF means Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Well, that's good.
Do you remember, did you ever watch Modern Family?
Yes.
Yeah, well, Phil, because you're such a dag, he's like, I'm down with all the acronyms, WTF, what's with the face?
Well, that's me. Yeah. I'm basically the Phil. Anyway, we'll leave you be, everyone.
Thank you.
Check
for
out
listening.
Special Olympics. Yep. I might see you there.
Yep.
And rate and review. Keep doing them. I still check them.
Yep. You want to buy our Christmas books or a birthday? We've got some very special birthday.
Yes, wrapping paper. From our gorgeous friend Sue at Broly.
Yeah, which is a little shop in the Eastern Burbs up in Heathmont. Yeah. And it's a very cute shop and she has online stuff.
Really beautiful shop.
And she's had to close every lockdown.
That's right. So I went the other day and bought stuff like standing out in her. Yeah, I just said, just choose me some things.
She's selling from the footpath.
Yeah, she is. So, we really
love
her.
It'll be open
her.
By the time this all comes
out. So thank you to her.
So if you've got a special birthday coming up, we can wrap.
And if you want if you want the book and you want it for a birthday, tell us and you'll get P birthday wrapping paper.
We've got 5 sheets.
Yeah, don't ask for 20.
No.
Anyway, thank you. See you, everyone.
Bye.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.